Welcome to Tactical Talk. This is Ann Khan. Today's topic is unipolarity, polarity, and multipolarity. Today, the guest of our show is a Russian scholar and also a senior geopolitical analyst, Leonid Savin, joining us from Moscow. We will be also discussing his best-selling book, The End of Pax Americana and the Rise of Multipolarity. Welcome to our show, Leonid Savin. This is Ann Khan. It is a pleasure having you on Tactical Talk.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. For me too.
I want to discuss a very important topic, and a lot of students of international relations and political science would be thinking about this question. You wrote on multipolarity. What is polarity, according to your opinion?
The most of Western political scientists describes polarity in context of the geography. It seems like a standard procedure because politics connected to geography. But I think it's a mistake because they're not only two geographical poles. Usually they remind North Pole and South Pole. They're two poles of the Earth. But we have north, south, east, west, northeast, northwest, etc. But if we are following positivist science, we need to take in attention ideas of positivist philosophy of 18th and 19th centuries. For example, Immanuel Kant also developed an idea of polarity, but from other point of view, or German chemist Alexander Nikolaus Rerer, who lived in the 18th and 19th centuries. And the German philosopher Schelling developed ideas of both Kant and Schrerer. And in his text about the world soul, he thought that polarity is the first step that is necessary for the genesis of the round form. He developed a concept of holism, where parts of whole not joined, but interacted. It's very important, interaction. And idea is just sort of element that consists in itself two entities that able to be in opposition to each other. It was idea of Schelling. In the United States, in 20th century, political analyst and scholar Richard Rosecrans talked about the pole like block, not single states. And it is the most adequate concept in frame of the world political system, from my point of view. But there is also different ideas of polarity. We can take a book of Martin Heidegger, who is the most German philosopher. So he told that polis or pole is the place around which all beings choose, and precisely in such a way that in the domain of this place, being shows the turning and the conditions. So between polis, it's mean kind of political states, and being, there is primordial relation. So it's more complex, it's more difficult for understanding, but not limited by political unions. So we need to take in mind all these conceptions for adequate understanding of polarity and multipolarity.
We've always heard of the term unipolarity and the Western U.S. unipolar world. When was the rise of unipolarity?
It's very clear it started from the collapse of the Soviet Union, because before was a bipolar world system. There was United States of America and USSR, and it was idea of Marxism economy in USSR and the idea of capitalism in the United States. So both countries, both states have own allies and try to share influence on the rest of the globe. But for understanding of idea of unipolarity, there is a very important article of Charles Krauthammer, The Multipolar Moment. It was written in the fall of 1990, and In 2003, he proposed another article, the Multipolar Moment Revisited, and so he told, yes, we are still superpower. United States is the most powerful in economic and military and political dominations. So we just need to keep this balance and rule the world. So unipolarity starts from 1991.
Okay, following up with that question, you write in your book about the collapse of the unipolarity. When did the deterioration start of the unipolar world order, according to your opinion and research?
Graham Allison, he is a very famous political analyst because of his books and last about Fukidi Trap, about Chinese and American confrontation. So he told that unipolarity is over in his article published in January 2020. But I think that the degradation of unipolarity started some years before, at least paradoxically in 2003, when United States started occupation of Iraq, many countries not agreed with it. And it was a kind of a bifurcation point for the rise of multipolarity. More countries was interested to build more adequate and just world order without kind of sheriff terrorist of the United States. So many also American analysts told about it. Kenneth Waltz, for example, Christopher Lane, they proposed a concept of statistics and data, because in Asia, the kind of economical rise and the United States step by step going down in economical sense and in political sense. And of course, Donald Trump also bring more and more political sense into multipolarity when he told, for example, America is more for Americans and we should more be focused on domestic issues, not to intervene in affairs of foreign countries and etc. So I think that administration of Biden just would like to recover our dominance, but they will not succeed with it.
You speak and write of multipolarity. How do you define and describe multipolarity in your book?
To be honest, there is no clear criteria for multipolarity, because many outlooks, many ideas, many scholar visions, even in the United States, there are different points how to describe multipolarity. And because, of course, West still would like to dominate on the rest of the world. And early attempts of Western scientists were in frame of political realism, and produces such terms as nuclear multipolarity. That means balance and deterrence of the nuclear powers. And United States, Soviet Union, India, Pakistan, for example, Britain, Israel, and cluster multipolarity, where are more opportunities for different states and many cross-cutting loyalties to moderate hostilities, also is another type of Western idea of multipolarity. And John Mearsheimer also proposed the concept of unbalanced multipolarity that contains potential hegemony and balance of multipolarity with power asymmetries among their members. But from my point of view, for adequate understanding of political and geopolitical multipolarity, we need to bring such concepts as polycentrity and pluriversality or pluriversum. Of course, in China, there is another point of view, and we cannot correctly to translate the term duodzihua into English multipolarity or into Russian многополярность, because etymology is very important for deep understanding of the political terms and the sense what bring to any kind of political vocabulary. For example, in 1993, China and Russia signed agreement about multipolarity. At least we have some difference on some aspects, but in general, we have a consensus what multipolarity is. And I think there we can also speak about negative multipolarity. For example, in theology, we can speak about negative aspects of the Allah. We cannot describe Allah, who is it, because he is not human. We cannot describe. So we try to understand him in negative sense, who Allah is not. In the same way, we can describe multipolarity, what multipolarity is not. At least multipolarity is not unipolarity of United States. And in this agreement between China and Russia, signed in 1993, was clear message that a world should be more justice without the leadership of United States. So it's also very important for understanding. And the last also important in unipolarity, minor powers are minor players. In multipolarity, role and status of minor powers are higher because of another type of the power distribution. It is not diffusion of power like John Ikenberry noted. It's just another level of responsibility.
There is another Russian philosopher of the name of Alexander Dugin, and he is an intellectual giant. We both met in Turkish Cyprus a few years back at a conference where I was speaking and he was also speaking, and he was speaking about the concept of multipolarity and some other issues. And he was explaining to me the concept of multipolarity. We were also discussing Pakistan-Russia relations. I also interviewed him on the subject. Now, you're also a scholar in the same field. You both speak of multipolarity. Where do you both agree and where do you both disagree? Which are the major points where you guys disagree?
Yes, Professor Dugin is my colleague, friend, and in some sense, he is my mentor. And I started developing my concept of multipolarity, of course, because of his influence. At least in we have the strategic goal same. It's a multipolar world order based on big spaces like Carl Schmitt or Karl Haushofer told about it. But Dugin also proposed a new approach of political buildings in every state. It's idea of forced political theory that is not liberalism, not Marxism, and not fascism. It's idea of design. He take it from ideas of Martin Heidegger. Design of every people in every country that will be very useful to build political system over the globe, global political system. And at first, I done analysis of the evolution of terms, unipolarity, bipolarity, multipolarity, and also I more focused on regional issues like OPSAL, non-alignment movement, that may be labeled like precursors of multipolarity. Also, I done research on current initiative like CELAC, BRICS, idea of anchor states, Next 11, Vista, etc. And I propose that idea of sustainable politics based on conservative point of view and family values that very important for any society. Because what we see in the United States now, idea of promotion of LGBT and something like that is just self-destruction. So if we want to build sustainable world, and we need to follow sustainable politics based on conservative values. And both me and Professor Dugin also developed a concept of civilizations. We are focused on different terms, different understanding of civilizations, and propose a multipolar world order based on the multi-civilization.
In your opinion, do you think that multipolarity would be able to sustain itself in the future?
Of course. Back to the past, it works. Before Western occupations, it was a problem of imperialism and colonialism of Western powers, it worked. There was some isolated regions in New World that we call now Latin America or North or and the South Americas. But for example, in Eurasia, it was interconnected many centuries before Western occupations. Asia, Middle East, Africa, and Western European peninsula of continent was interconnected. And we can to see archaeological artifacts in many regions that demonstrate how it was kind of common heredity. It was common space for the living of different cultures, different peoples, and different states. So it works, and we just need now to be more refocused on how, from one point of view, re-understand this interaction and how to build new multipolar world order on new approach regarding on our technologies and now political systems.
Let's get to the last question. Could you describe to us the social, economic, and strategic influence of multipolarity in the future?
I think that probably economy will be the most visible area in the future. Because for the moment, international financial system is still unipolar with dollar hegemony. And such supervisors like World Bank and IMF that just bring out agenda and still interested to exploit many countries and regions. So it will be very difficult, but very necessary to operate in new multipolar world systems. And we already done some first steps. For example, in Russia, we started for transactions in national currencies with China, with Iran, and within of the Eurasian Economic Union. And we see it works. It brings some dividends to both of actors who involved and knew these alternative systems. We also think about how to more and more divide our economics from the dollar or euro dependence. And second is social issue. For example, people need no visa anymore. In the ASEAN countries, and people just need holder of the card ASEAN and to visit countries. The same in Schengen agreement. And in the Eurasian Economic Union, we have the same agreement, and people from Belarus, for example, can free going to Russia and to find work and job here and follow education, and it's not a problem anymore. And it's less bureaucracy. And from strategic point of view, it's of course it means more balanced world that we need all.
Before ending the show, I want to ask a very important question that just came into my mind. Do you think that COVID-19 would affect the multipolar vision that you seek?
I think yes, it's both affected globalist agenda. I mean unipolarity and still idea of American dominance, and also affected of multipolarity efforts. Both affect, but we just need to use this experience for next step of development, multipolarity. We become more isolated, and we started doing some alternatives in political sense and mostly in economic sense and in the ideas of logistics, for example. And we started to be more regional, not global. So it's this aspect is more important and maybe useful for the next steps of multipolarity.
Because if we look at the Russian vaccine Sputnik, the Russian COVID-19 vaccine, a lot of medical experts are saying that it's one of the best in the world that has to offer. And if you study the vaccine, you can see Russian leadership also in the health and medical field in the world. And I'm not saying that it's the best, but it is one of the best. And it doesn't affect the DNA. It has another mechanism of vaccination. So how do you see Russia's role when it comes to leading the medical and the health sector?
Moscow proposed cooperation in this field to all countries and to United States and to European Union countries, but unfortunately, they still follow our idea fix of Russian isolations. And they not agreed with Russian proposals in many senses, not only about vaccine, about, for example, counterterrorism efforts and how to manage ecological issues, etc. Because for them, Russia is rogue state, and like Iran, like China, and like North Korea, for example. And there is a block of some states, and United States is the head, and the rest are the followers, like kind of allies. And they just follow our agenda and try to discriminate Russia and try to bring some kind of negative labels about Sputnik vaccine, such terms like medical nationalism, etc. But we see that world is not closed, it's more interconnected than before, and in many countries people see real impact about what Russia doing and what Russia proposes, and not Russia only. For example, Cuban doctors visited many countries just to fight COVID, and about maybe 50 countries in the world they visited and proposed it's for mostly for free to fight the COVID in Europe, in Latin America, and Africa. And I see that such efforts bring more trust to Russia, to Cuba, to other countries who really would like to promote justice in this world.
Thank you so much, Leonid Savin, for being on Tactical Talk. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you too for opportunity to share my ideas with you and your watchers.
This was Leonid Savin, a scholar on the topic of multipolarity. We were discussing the topics of polarity, multipolarity, and unipolarity. Until the next episode of Tactical Talk, keep on watching Tactical Talk. This is Zayn Khan. Take care and goodbye.